That's great. That was a beautiful song as well, just of devotion to be able to sing. So I love the summer. I don't know about you. And I love, the fact that more people are out and about, and it increases the chance of a friend sending to you a selfie with a celebrity type photo. Have we got one on the screen? Yeah, so that's what a friend did. You can possibly just about see. That's Carl Edmund in the background after he'd won his first round match. And before he went out later in the week. But we don't mention that, do we? Okay. But be warned, all this selfie with a celebrity kind of stuff, because it can go horribly wrong. Here's one a girl posted of herself and Daniel Craig of James Bond fame. She's so excited, she shares it with all her friends, and some of them start to do thumbs up in reply. They're all excited for her. And then some of her friends start to tell her that despite whatever this guy has claimed, that in no way is Daniel Craig. It's an epic fail. So he's not the real deal. That's what they told her. And I guess as we come to God's word this morning, what we're asking, Luke's gospel, chapter 7, it seems to be what John the Baptist is facing. Is Jesus, is he the real deal or isn't he? Has it all gone horribly wrong for John and for everyone else who he pointed out this guy, Jesus? So let's dive into the passage and we'll explore this together. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 7, verse 18 through to 23, if you want to follow me. You can open up your Bibles or on your phone, or we'll have it on the screen as well. John's disciples told him all about these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As we explore this passage and the verses around it, we pose the question for today: Jesus, is he the one? How do you know that? How do you know that for yourself? Is this Jesus the one? And first I'd say, ask him, Jesus, are you the real deal? Now, if you're a guest here today, it's worth knowing that we've been working our way through Luke's gospel these past weeks, in particular chapter 6 and into chapter 7. So when you work through, you kind of deal with what's before you in the next passage. And the massive surprise for us in today's passage and section is that it's John the Baptist who's posing this question. Jesus, are you the one? Are you the real deal? It's John the Baptist. Now, that's a surprise because it's John the Baptist who the other Gospels and Luke says he points to Jesus early on and says, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Look, he's the one." He's pointed to Jesus early on, the first to announce it, and said, "He's the one. I'm not even worthy to fasten the ties on his sandals." And John the Baptist is the one who baptized Jesus in the River Jordan. That's why we call him John the Baptizer, because he was baptizing lots of people, plunging them into the water, into the River Jordan. And along with a whole crowd of people there at the time, they witnessed something like a dove descending from heaven as the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus at the start of his ministry and launched him. There was even an audible voice from heaven that everybody heard, and so it's recorded in these historical accounts. God saying, "This is my son, with whom I'm well pleased." You see what's such a surprise? It's John the Baptist who's asking Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we be expecting somebody else?" If you want to look at the different gospel accounts of this, it's helpful to look at Matthew's gospel and his take on the same situation. In chapter 11, you'll see there that John is in prison. He's been put there by Herod. He's been there months. And in all honesty, things are looking really bleak for him. Rumours of possible death for him are circulating. And there he is, the one who announced Jesus as the one, wants reassurance. If Jesus is the Christ, why is there not more action in general? And why has it gone so badly wrong for him personally, John the Baptist? Jesus doesn't seem to be bringing about the results that John and others expected from a Messiah figure. And John's disappointed and he's not at all sure. You can understand why he's posing the question. And he asks Jesus. Now for him, he couldn't do that in person. He sends friends who visited him in prison with the message, "Are you the one? Or should we expect someone else? Are you the real deal, Jesus?" And Jesus' reply, it's interesting. It's not full of promises about what he's going to do in the future and all those other things like some leadership campaigner, somebody wanting to be a prime minister and promising all sorts of treats. He just simply points to evidence, the evidence that's recorded in the Gospels here of what he has been doing. The blind receive sight, the lame walk. There are healing miracles. He points to the evidence and finishes by saying, good news to the poor. Good news for the poor. Now then, in those days, they knew Jesus giving that answer was code. It was code for everybody knew that Jesus is listing the deeds expected of the coming Messiah or Christ. In his effect, his answer is saying, look at the evidence. Look at what I'm doing. Yes, John, I am the real deal. And I think there's a lesson for all of us here. Life doesn't always work out as we might expect, and God does not often seem to act in the way we expect him or desire him to act, and we can be praying. Life can be full at times of uncertainty, at other times disappointment, but the key is John goes to Jesus in the most direct manner that he possibly can, and he asks him, yeah, come on, Jesus, are you the one? And our lesson, we can do that too. We don't even have to get a friend to ask. We can go direct to him. However things started out for us in life, whether we started a new life in Christ, however sure we were at the start of that walk, we can still find ourselves in a place of uncertainty or disappointment or fear. And in a quiet moment of truth and vulnerability and reality, we can talk to Jesus and say, if you're real, Jesus, show me, help me here. I'm not really sure it was meant to be like this, Jesus. You can ask him who he is, where he is, how he might act, and all those other questions. He's longing that we go direct to him. Why don't you do that? Straight to him. I love the way he finishes his message to John. John, almost like hanging on by his fingernails, I get that impression. And Jesus sends back this message. Say, blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me. He knows how uncertain the ground is for John, and he's encouraging him to go on believing, no matter what, to go on walking in the Jesus way. And that encouragement to do that involves blessing, the knowledge of God and his peace and his presence, and even when everything around us is not peace. He'll go on to say in the next few verses, John was a messenger from God, and there's no greater human being than John who's been born. He validates his ministry once he's sent that message and blessing. And that same Jesus is here amongst us. We're his church. And for each one asking the questions, he's encouraging you. Come to him. Ask the questions and keep on believing. Keep on walking the Jesus way, knowing that as you keep going, blessed is the one who keeps going, who doesn't stumble on account of me. You'll receive blessing from God. So, how do you know for yourself that Jesus is the one? Ask him. Go direct. Secondly, I'd say dive in. Explore the living truth for yourself. You see, when Jesus replied as he did, John and his disciples, well, they knew what the background expectations for the Messiah were. They understood Jesus' reply and what it meant. It would make sense to all of them. But if you're looking in on the Gospel of Luke, maybe reading it for the first time from scratch, how do you know that Jesus' reply confirms he is the real deal? He is the one. You know, somehow to find the truth about the first century Jesus, all of us, we have to dive in. We have to dive into the original accounts and the other writings in order to somehow separate fact from fiction or fantasy. It's one of those jobs that we all get involved in. And God reveals himself to us in that process. But we dive in to help us understand. The scholar and theologian Tom Wright, he takes the example of John F. Kennedy, perhaps one of the most well-known figures of the last century. And some of you are old enough to say, along with countless others, that you remember where you were when you first heard news of his assassination. Yes? So some of you, I'm not old enough for that. I just like to say that clearly. I might remember where I was when I first heard about Princess Diana's crash in the car and everything. But if I wanted, as being too young, if I wanted to go back and discover the significance of his death and find out why some people thought him a hero whilst others thought he had to be killed, then I'd have to find books and sources that were reliable and try and find the people who are close to Kennedy to find out what it really is. And I'd have to cut through the conspiracy theories that proliferate online and try to look at all the things that led up to that assassination. Something about the Cold War mentality, the social tensions of the 1960s America, the ambitions of Kennedy's father and so on. It's a big job. You have to dive into it if you want to really know. And I guess I was thinking about Noah's generation, growing up. These are the kind of challenges that they face if they're going to work out, is Jesus the one? You know, we've got four historical records of his life written by people who were sufficiently close to Jesus and who were pro-Jesus. Okay, so you look at those. There are a few other objective histories that we can find out about who affirm the existence of Jesus and some of the impact of his life. But then we need to construct a little bit more of the setting in which Jesus, what he said and what he did made sense. We dive in to find out what was the world and what were the world views then? What were the expectations that Jesus walked into in his ministry? And in that context, who is Jesus and why did he have to die? And then make that translation, what does it mean for us today? Now, that's a task. But those verses that Mike and Charlotte asked for were from Jeremiah. He says, you will seek him and you'll find him when you seek him with all your heart. And in a generation miles from the actual events, we need to dive in and say, what's the truth? The good news is you don't have to have completed an exhaustive historical study and survey before you come to any conclusions. But you do dive in. You take the biblical record seriously. You read small chunks of the Bible and someone can tell you where to start if you're not sure. And you do that on a regular basis and you piece bits together and you get the setting. You can find other books to help you do that. You get the setting and in the process, you can meet Jesus and it's like he's talking to you himself. These historical documents somehow, they're the living word of God and the Spirit of God brings them to life and he speaks through them and we meet him. And even as you're doing that, you can see him written in the lives of other people around you, demonstrating that Jesus is the one who rescues us from ourselves, gives us life and purpose, imperfect people though we are. He works through us, and even through me or you, he'll show his love. So I'd say dive in and explore the living truth for yourself. Be around Sunday mornings. It can help along the way. Get into a group midweek. Go to the last of the big questions sessions at Cafe Nero tomorrow night. You know, in fact, tomorrow night they're looking at Jesus, and the discussion will focus on whether Christianity is one big fairy tale or not. And you're like, you get a free coffee, free cake, listen and dive in with the conversation. So do come to that. So ask him direct. That's how you can know for yourself. Dive in to explore. It's a necessary thing. Keep exploring. But there's one more thing that makes all the difference. How do you know if Jesus is the one? Trust him and live it out. Trust him and live it out. Any serious seeker for the truth, you know, if they're considering John the Baptist's question, they'll soon find enough evidence for themselves to support the verdict that Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And what that means, he is the Savior of the world, and he is now Lord. He is the one. He is the real deal. Any serious seeker after truth will soon discover that. And what really makes a difference then is to act on that knowledge. Not just to say, oh yeah, I know, I've worked it out. That's not even half the deal. It's placing your life in his hands. It's offering him yourself. And acting on that journey, on that knowledge in trust. The whole thing is like a journey. It's where you start looking around you and you recognize the world and all the people in it are in need of rescue. You can look around and it doesn't take much to think, actually, we need rescue. And then as you dive in, you discover that Jesus is that rescuer that the world needs. But the trust step, the final one, is when you say, come and be my rescuer. It's when it gets personal. What's that phrase they used to say? You know, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. Yeah. And if you're not really sure with the first, take another mouthful. You know whether it's a great pudding or not when you eat it. You've got to be careful how you say if it's not. But anyway, yes. But the truth of the good news about Jesus is in the trusting. The truth of the good news about Jesus is in the trusting. You live it out. When you realize your need to be right with him, you trust and enjoy his total forgiveness and the fresh start that goes with that. When you realize the ongoing needs in the world and that Jesus is active in the world and he's inviting you into that, you trust him. And you enjoy that sense of his presence as you reach out in his name. Look for what he's doing and join in with him. You live it out. And this is our prayer for baby Noah in his dedication today, that he will seek with all his heart and that he'll find him, that he'll dive in and discover that Jesus really is who he says he is. And our prayer is that he'll go on to that next step and receive that gift to be able to trust and place his life in the hands of God and to invite Jesus to fill him by his Spirit. It's trusting that the Jesus of history is alive and lives, that he's still asking the Father to give us the Holy Spirit to empower us to be the helper and counselor, to live in us and work through us. And that's what God wants for you this morning. Seek after the truth. To ask. Ask him. Do that this morning. We've got a prayer ministry team. They'll be available after. They'd love to pray with you about anything you're facing in life or that's been happening this last week. They'd love to do that. But anything related to today's as well. Ask him. And that they'll stand alongside you as you seek him. Dive in, explore, keep going to find the one and you can trust and place that trust in him afresh. And as you do that, he'll fill you up and send you. He'll fill you up again and send you out with his Spirit, his presence and his power. Do you know, I'm going to share a little bit of a story of someone who's done this, having laughed at the thought of Jesus, and you'll get this as we go through. They've dived in to explore for themselves the living truth, and they've come to a place of trust. And I'm just going to show you the first half of this, all right? And maybe I'll send life groups the link to the whole thing. And it's somebody whose life has turned around through a friend who's a Christian. And God is at work. And actually, in coming to know Christ and this new life in him, as she sat down just to write her story, it just came out in verse. So this is a little warning. If it feels like a poem as she's walking through the New Forest, it is a poem. All right, so don't be put off by that, but listen to the words. This is Charlotte's story, and we're just going to listen to a couple of minutes of that.
I grew up without you, Lord. From babe in the womb, I crawled, walked, ran, stumbled through childhood to adulthood, leaking innocence, seeking for something to make sense. Accidental in nature, a drop in the human race, empty space, a hole in my chest. At first, it was confusion. Why am I here? But confusion turned to anger, turned to pain, turned to fear. From mess to mess and trouble to trouble, life without purpose felt like an endless struggle, a chasing of the wind. I made choices, decisions which led to despair. The most painful reality was that I just didn't care. I wanted to scream, to shout, to find a way out. Inherently bad, sure I was going mad. But then I met Phil, best friend, better half. When he told me about Jesus, I tried not to laugh, to cry, to run. How could you believe in an invisible man and his son? But slowly and surely, through the years, months, weeks, nudging, hinting, curiosity peaked. My armor was thickened by years of heartache, but God's love somehow broke through. For God so loved the world. From that moment, I knew there was more work for me to do. So then to Alpha, to discipleship course, to reading the Bible, searching and researching, and finally stumbling across revelation of you, Jesus. Revelation that you are the reason I'm breathing. You are the reason my past is dissolving. You are the reason my life is evolving. It's all about you, Jesus. And then the opportunity came.
I really did steep into all that asking, diving in, and trusting. We're just working our way through Luke, and this is where we got to today, and there aren't any accidents with God. And I believe he's speaking to people this morning, so if that's you, my invitation now on his behalf is to say, take a step of trust. Get asking, get seeking. Let me pray as we finish, and then the band will lead us in a final song. You're welcome to come up here if you want to get ready. Let's pray. Lord, Father in heaven, thank you for your word. You know us. You know the tough elements of life, the uncertain elements, the disappointments. We pray now for your grace and help to respond to you, that we may take steps in our journey, come to a place of knowing you, your son Jesus, for ourselves. Come to the place of reassurance that he's with us and filling us and sending us out. Maybe in your heart right now you just say, Jesus, I've been away from you. I want to come back to you right now. Just do that in your own words to him in your heart and mind. Maybe you say, I've never. God, if you're real, lead me to a place of trust. For we ask these things in the presence and the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.